You'd have to say the big news of the day was Billy Slater being omitted from this year's State of Origin Game 1 team. Well, we had Maroons coach Kevin Walters on today to answer why he did that, Marta.
He's a great bloke. He always fronts Mo, and he's talking about the decision to leave Billy Slater out. It was very interesting. You'll hear him.
He didn't disown it, so we had to wear it. We've got to get him behind him, apparently.
Yep. Immigration Minister Peter Dutton joined us to talk about him chasing down what they're calling fake refugees. That was a very interesting chat.
Interesting. What about when we had Stefan on? Let's think about that next time.
Yeah,
that's mad.
We'll record that next time, I think. Also, Robin went one-on-one with Russell Crowe and Hollywood star Tom Cruise.
It's all happening, mate.
I think Tom Cruise liked her too. I think he was very happy with Robin's questions.
Yeah, I think she was respectful and he likes that. Remember, put your manners in.
Put your manners in, Peter. Peter Overton, you pig. What are you doing asking me personal questions that aren't that personal?
Yeah, man, put your manners back in. Put your podcast back in and enjoy yourself a catch-up.
Good segue.
Thanks.
Billy's been such a wonderful player for Queensland, and even when he wasn't playing last year, from a coaching point of view, you know, I feel he went like above and beyond of what he's meant to do. So it was pretty tough.
Robin, you can read body language and signals and stuff. Kevy yesterday during that press conference, what does that mean?
He just didn't look very comfortable. He looked like he was really upset. That's what I took from it.
Like it wasn't his decision.
Well, maybe. Let's ask him.
Kevy?
Hello.
Hello, mate. Hey. We're all here. Queensland's here, waiting to hear. How was this team selected, mate?
It's been by myself, Gene Miles and Darren Lockyer. So, it was certainly our decision, my decision. I'm happy with the team we've come up with. It was just so you can get better with your judgment, Robin. Yesterday was tough leaving Billy out of the side, and it was the toughest decision that we've had to make in my short tenure as coach, because I've got an emotional attachment with Billy as well, with my work at the Melbourne Storm when I was down there, and last year when he was with us. So, you know, it was a really difficult decision, and that's why...
Kevy, Justin O'Neill, are you telling me that Billy Slater, and I've watched five of his games since he's come back, he's playing better than Justin O'Neill?
Yeah, but he's not he can't play in those positions, though, mate. And I just felt that for the balance of the side, we're better off having Darius there for the rest of the, you know. And I got no problems with what we've done. I'm comfortable this morning with everything. And we'll start our prep, you know, not today. We've got some stuff. Well, we've got some training this afternoon. We've got some stuff on this morning corporately. But, you know, we're ready. We've got a good side there. We've got a team that we can win game one.
Oh, mate, everyone will get in behind you. Shortly, we just want to doubt a few things. If you pick Nate Miles because of experience, why wouldn't you pick Billy because of experience? If we haven't got JT and Matt Scott,
no, we picked Nate Miles because he's playing good football. And this time last year, I would have run at Nate Miles and he couldn't have hurt me. But this year, he's different, mate. He's going to iron a few blokes out, trust me.
I hope so, Kev, because I've been looking at the New South Wales team and they've done what they've been doing for the last few years, which is to say, look, if we have the biggest set of humans ever assembled, then we can try and get on top of them in the forwards. Now, that seems to be... This morning in the Sydney press, they're happy, Kev. They're like, oh, great, here we go. This is what we've been waiting for.
Yeah, well, I see somewhere this morning, one of the channels, Kevy hands New South Wales the series by not picking Slater. Well, you know, that's a pretty big statement. And it is a big move, not having Billy Slater on our side. And that was what came out yesterday. But we've made a decision and we're going to get on with things. And Darius was our best player last year and voted by the players as the best player in the Origin series. So I've got a lot of faith in what he can do. He's very good in attack and very, very good in defence. We've got no problems there.
Kevy, you're talking about, you know, everyone's speculating, but no one's actually heard from Billy himself. Did you personally ring him and tell him? How did that all happen?
Geez, that would have been tough.
It was, He was obviously disappointed and didn't agree with the decision that we'd come up with, but also was respectful and said, well, that's fine. You have to, you know, pick the team that you think's best for Queensland. And then he also went forward to say, if you need a hand with anything... I'll give you a hand. I want Queensland to win. So, and if I can help in any way. And the important thing with this, the door's not shut on Billy Slater for Origin. If things, you know, don't work out for us for whatever reason in game one, or all sorts of things can happen. And the other reason why, it's not so much about form with Billy and experience. I just thought it was going to be a difficult ask for Billy Slater to come in and play Origin 1 at Suncorp Stadium in front of all those people, the expectation on him to come in there and just do magical things that aren't real. And Billy's had 8 games of first grade in 2 years. Now, I wouldn't put that sort of pressure on anyone.
Yeah, but Gagai's been playing for the Newcastle Knights. Surely that disqualifies him from playing good football. Crikey.
Well, Marto, game 2 of last year.
Yes, I know. Scored 3 tries.
He did score three tries.
Very
Kevin, it is the toughest job. It is a very, very tough job.
All right, that's enough. We're behind you now, Kevin.
Yeah, we're always behind it, but we've got to have out. We love it. We're so passionate. Yeah. So, Kevin, listen, it's nice to speak to you. We are, of course, right behind the team. All of Queensland is. And let's hope, mate. Jeez, let's hope we get across the line next Wednesday, hey?
You've got to get the positive vibes going, you fellas. I know. You've got some doubts there.
No, that's only today, mate.
We'll be right,
Kev. You've waylaid them, Kevy. Right, they'll listen to you.
Thanks for talking, mate.
I'm going to ring next Tuesday. I'm going to ring you guys up, and if there's not more positivity in the studio, you're out. I'm going to sack the lot of you.
That's fair, mate. That's absolutely fair. And I've booked 15 ambulances for the people that Nate Miles is going to lay out on Wednesday night. So they're going to
get them lined up at the door.
Hey, well done, Kevy. You finally had a win against Wayne Bennett to pay him back for sacking.
That was
you.
A good one.
Well played, mate.
We won't go to that one either. We'll leave that one go. He's been very supportive, and also, I'll just let all Queensland people know, Jonathan's in a lot of doubt. There's no doubt about that. But I'm really excited if Anthony gets his chance, Milford. Like
he'll be fine.
He's going to be an awesome player. So it's great to give him an opportunity too.
Good on
you, Kevin. You're such a nice man, Kevin Walters. Good luck. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Yeah, you can do that. No problem.
Oh, we're so lucky. Every Tuesday we get to speak to the most powerful man in the nation, Rich Uncle Mal, the PM, live from Point Piper. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you guys. I hope you've had a terrific morning. Triple M rocks Brisbane. Good on you.
No, thank you.
Now, what do you think about Twiggy Forrest's $400 million gift to the nation? That's huge.
Well, Rob, I'm glad you asked, Ed. Twiggy is a terrific guy. You do remember he brought down Waxeater Rudd and the whole Labor communist outfit for the mining tax. Because he wanted to give the money away himself. Yes. Rich men know best, and he'll be making a great contribution to Indigenous employment right across the mining sector and the top end. Mind you, I do take issue with the idea of rich men giving away their fortunes. Yeah. This kind of thing starts chaos. It's unprecedented. Mm. I mean, it disturbs the natural order of things. Rich, workers, poor. We should crush the poor.
Why don't you ever give away money? Anyway, his nickname, Twiggy, it's pretty cool. Have you got one? Have you thought about having one?
I do like Twiggy. I like the diminutive nature of it. I know that it's, you know, quite clever and juvenile play on words. And I have thought about it. Listen, my surname is Turnbull, a man that turns a ball. So here's a few suggestions. Okay. Matador Turnbull. Beefy Turnbull. What about Knackers Turnbull? From behind a ball, the Knackers, that all appeals to the man in the street. I think, Ed, you'd like something like that, wouldn't you? Horns Turnbull or China Turnbull, referring to a bull in a China shop and my love of fine China.
Wow, they're all fantastic.
Big balls
People will
Turnbull.
Immediately just pick up the very common and crass bullshit Turnbull.
That's cheap. That's
and
cheap.
I won't have that. It is a cheap shot, and I won't have it used on this show or any other.
No. I understand that you've revealed that last week that you're into Pilates.
Yes, Ed, Lucy and I love doing Pilates. Like you and your good lady wife, Tiffany, enjoy working out together. We can't get enough of the reformer bed. I love it. I really like opening up my pelvic floor, strengthening my adductors, my glutes, and working on my anterior and posterior cruciate ligaments. Wow. To tell you the truth, Luce and I both say that Pilates not only strengthens, but it opens us up like a lotus flower. Okay. And so that's why I want you to think of me as someone who is wide open.
Okay, yeah.
Is that giving you a good visual?
Yeah, it's wonderful. Thank you so much. Yes. Hey, just before we let you go, what song are you humming to yourself at the moment?
Well, I've been humming a 90s classic that was on the selector in the Bentley, and I just can't get it out of my head. See if you can pick this one. Yeah. The thing you say, your purple prose just gives you away. The thing you say, all together now. You're unbelievable.
Rich Uncle Mal.
Who doesn't love to smash a finger into a house party down at Point Harbor with AMF?
See you later,
I just want to say that Triple M rocks Origin. Go to the road.
Thanks, Matador. See you later.
Good on you guys. Bye now.
Yes, went to the world's premiere of The Mummy with the big stars Russell Crowe and Tom Cruise. They were on the black carpet in Sydney last night. I got a chance to chat to Tom. Now, here's my strategy when it comes to red carpet stuff, because there is media everywhere and it's a massive scrum. And by the time I got to Tom Cruise, he had been on that black carpet for over an hour. Uh-huh. So if you're going to ask him a stock standard question, you're going to get this glazed look. And he's going to give you a really boring answer.
How do you get his attention? Are you guaranteed to ask him a question?
This time we were, because they'd flown them all out and Tom hasn't been here for a couple of years.
Oh, good.
And you flew there for it. Like, it was, you know what I mean? They had
That's
to give
not
you
always the case, though. Oh, sometimes it's really brutal. Anyway, I figured that the best way to engage him and to get a long answer was to ask him something that he was interested in. And we all know that he loves stunts. And there is this one stunt in the movie which involves the zero-G Airbus. It's popularly known as the Vomit Comet. And let me give you some context, because you probably have seen this in the trailer. The flight crew take the plane to 20,000 feet, then sharply climb at a 50-degree angle to 25,000 feet, then reduced thrust, point the nose down, and basically free fall for 23 seconds. Now, they've never shot
Does that give you weightlessness?
Yes, it does. It gives you G-forces and weightlessness. And the crew took that flight 60 times over 2 days to get the plane crash scene that you will see in the movie The Mummy. So, of course, that's what I wanted to talk to Tom about. Hi, Tom. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Okay, you are a stunt legend. You're very meticulous with your stunts. Everyone says that. The plane scene. Yeah. You're the first time you've actually shot a sequence of a plane crashing with a plane free-falling, Tell me about the Vomit Comet.
That, it was intense. I have to say, the hero was Annabelle. She was a hero because I've done these things before. She hasn't. I'm lucky I don't get sick doing those stuff like that. I mean, I fly aerobatic airplanes and helicopters, and you don't, there's nothing you can do to prepare for a stunt like that. You just have to do it. And she knew she had to do it, and she didn't back out of it. And she was, and I'm taking her, and I'm, she just has to relax, and it's a dance. We don't know what's going to happen. I know I have to get from one point of the aircraft to the other and put a parachute on her. And I'm whipping her around. I mean, there's takes where we're spinning in zero G, and she was amazing. She was really amazing. The crew was vomiting off camera. You know, they were puking their guts out in between takes. And
but hang on, you're in G forces. If they're puking, doesn't that mean that the vomit?
They waited till it stops, and then they pull out their bags. You're given a bag when you get on the aircraft, and the crew was just hurling in between those takes. It was brutal.
Holy Sounds hell. Like Flying Tiger. Now, I've heard.
And I should say that the Annabelle is Annabelle Harris, who plays Jenny, who's one of the leads in the movie.
Who cares about
so
her?
So you've heard what?
No, I'm just saying I've heard that the crew throwing up after they finished doing a take. Mm. I've heard that also happened after the sex scenes in Eyes Wide Shut.
Moving right along.
Forever. Yeah, what do you want?
You gave me a question.
No, see, I know how to deal with these stars, Robin. I've dealt with these cats before, and you got to remember, some of my friends are actors as well. And the one thing we know about actors is there's only one thing they care about, Marto, which
themselves.
Is the environment, mate. The environment.
Come on.
No, it's themselves.
Oh, good.
All they care about is themselves. And so I gave you a question because I'd heard an interview somewhere else where Alec Baldwin had given Tom Cruise a compliment. So I gave you that. Give the question to Tom Cruise, but start it with a compliment from Alec Baldwin, and I bet you that he'll give you a long answer.
Okay, so I did just that. Alex Baldwin says you're the absolute best man to be in the trenches in a big budget film. What is it that you like about doing these kind of films?
I love entertaining an audience, and I mean, I make a wide range of films. I have a film, American Made. It's a smaller film. It's kind of a satire that's coming out. But, you know, when you have an opportunity to make a film like this, I grew up as a kid watching the original monster films of Universal, the ones in 1930, and I saw them on Friday night, you know, on television in black and white, and it's just very exciting to have this opportunity, and I'm so used to you know, I've made these films, I've produced these movies. With a story, everyone thinks you have a script and you just shoot the script. But, you know, I like making a film where we hire the cast, you go in, you start working with them, you develop the characters for them. And the story kind of evolves from there. And you have to be willing to back off some of the ideas that you thought were going to work and recognize what's working, what's not, and really be able to seize the day. And when you're doing it on a large scale, there's a tremendous amount of pressure. But also on a film like this, there's a tremendous amount of skill in every department.
Does it matter that you called him Alex Baldwin?
Oh, no. He didn't pick it up.
Who is it?
Oops. Alec.
It was, yeah, she called Alec Baldwin Alex Baldwin at the start, but he didn't pick it up.
I was nervous.
The question was good. Okay. The answer took a bit long.
Yeah. You did very well.
The movie The Mummy is out on June 8th, and I will say that if it is successful, there will be a whole monster franchise that will come out.
Keep your fingers crossed, everyone.
So there you go.
Good stuff.
Kevin Walters yesterday announcing the Origin team. With Gene Miles sitting there, Gene Miles, the head of the Queensland Selectors. Let's have a listen to Kevy as he was talking about the omission of Billy Slater.
Billy's been such a wonderful player for Queensland. And even when he wasn't playing last year, from a coaching point of view, you know, I feel he went like above and beyond of what he's meant to do. So it was pretty tough.
That's right. Hey, last year he didn't play because he had that terrible shoulder injury. So Kevy got him to coach and he was magnificent apparently around the team. Kevy had him at Melbourne for years. He knows what he can do. Kevy wanted him in the team, I reckon.
Yeah, body language to me. He was visibly upset.
Who's
that
the other bloke?
That was not his decision.
Gene Miles was rubbing Kevy going, don't worry about it, mate. Who's the other selector? Because obviously Kevin Walters has been rolled with who? Oh, gee, I'm really on foot at Justin O'Neill playing ahead of Kevy, of Billy Slater for Queensland. How many games do you reckon that Darius Boyd has played on the wing in winning Queensland teams with Billy Slater at fullback? Isn't that what it's pick and stick in Queensland's all about? You're supposed to go with the ones, not with Justin O'Neill. Doesn't strike fear. And you just heard Claire talk about Paul Gallant. He's not scared of the Queensland team, and that used to be what they always were. They'd look at it and go, oh, we're no chance. Now we haven't got Matt Scott and Thursto. What the hell do you leave?
Is Darren Lockyer the new? He's the other one, isn't he?
Oh, who's this other? Darren Lockyer. Other bloke sitting next to him. Yes, last night, yesterday, when Kevy named the team, an old bloke. Is Darren Lockyer in this?
I think it's Darren Lockyer, Kev Walters, Gene Miles.
Yes,
I think that might be it.
So he's been Kevy's been rolled because there's no way in the world Kevy spent years down there at Melbourne. He knows what. What's the most dangerous thing in rugby league? Don't worry about that big Nelson giant who plays for Melbourne. Oh, it is Cameron Smith, Cooper Cronk and Billy Slater in a play together. That is the most wicked thing in rugby league, and you're going to chop the head off one of them.
It seemed very strange to me. I couldn't get my head around it. I thought, why just stick Boyd on the wing and Billy Slater at fullback? They can alternate if they need to.
And have Gay Guy and Chambers in the second. Yeah, he left out Valentine Holmes as well. You're telling me that Corey Oates is better?
I love Corey Oates, but I don't think. Yeah.
Well, the other one,
I know you are.
Yeah,
I'm
you were in Sydney yesterday.
And
yeah.
I spent last night with two very passionate New South Wales State of Origin supporters.
Yeah. Fletch and Hindy.
And both of them were stoked.
Yeah. Righto.
They were absolutely stoked because they just thought, yep, we're in for a really good chance in New South Wales. As soon as they saw the Queensland team, they went, yep. Whoops.
Okay, what are your thoughts? Maybe you think Billy Slater hasn't played enough games. Maybe you're right. Maybe you think, look, it's pick and stick. These are the guys that won the series last year.
Nonsense.
Maybe you think, like we do, that Billy Slater just has to be there. You just got to have Billy Slater until he can't play anymore.
Robin, body language of Kevin Walters while he named the team. What does that say?
Oh, it says he wasn't comfortable at all. It says that the other two selectors, Darren Lockyer and Gene Miles. Gene Miles was super comfortable. If you're going just on body language, Gene Miles was absolutely...
I love Gene, but now I'm over him. If him and Lockyer are responsible for this, they should...
Hmm?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Not die, but, you know, close to it.
Jesus.
Mano's very upset
wrong.
This morning.
I am. I love Billy Slater.
We all do. Here's Rob from Pine Rivers. What do you think, mate?
Oh, I just think that he's had a wall out of the game, mate. And he needs a rest this year for Origin. He hasn't played for 2 years, and an Origin game ain't nothing like a normal, regular NRL game. So,
But Rob, he's been playing all season. Have you seen him? He's been fantastic.
Yeah, but he's been out 2 years as well. You know, he only, prior to that, he only played about 6 games in 2 years.
Hey, Rob, if you're a selector, tell me what Darius Boyd does better than Billy Slater.
Brings the ball to the line.
No.
Are you sure?
When we're inside that 22, he's been doing it his whole life, the Broncos.
He does it for Queensland
as well.
I disagree, Rob. He backs in. I don't like it. Rob, but thank you. Appreciate your thoughts. Brownie from Browns Plains, what do you think, mate?
Morning, boys and Robin. Listen, mate, I reckon Kevy's definitely been snookered by the other two clowns.
Does it look like that to you?
Oh, for sure. Listen, his body language said that he was struggling with the decision. I reckon he's had a blue with the other turkeys. And, mate, at the end of the day, as a New South Wales supporter coming from Sydney, I'm going to the State of Origin this year to see you get rolled first game.
Whoa. Well, that's not what we want, Brownie.
We used to like you, Brownie.
Yeah, Brownie, you've called this program before and you've only just outed yourself. Yeah. This is outrageous.
That's all right. I'm okay with that, mate. But honestly, on paper, if you omit Billy Slater and put the other two in position of him, then you're definitely cracking jokes because Slater's the best fullback that's ever been and ever will be. And, mate, he's played, and Rob's obviously on himself because there's no way that Billy Slater has not performed this year to warrant the position.
I know what you mean, but I take his point, though, that he was out for a long time with injury. I do understand that.
Brownie, if I said to you I'm in the New South Wales defensive line and Nate Miles is coming, am I scared?
No, mate, he's a dead set packet of butter.
Yeah. Packet of butter.
Can I just ask a question about the selection, which I don't necessarily understand? Yeah. Doesn't the captain get a say? Like, where's...
All right, I just read that. Cameron Smith was not consulted at all because we know what he would have plumped for, so they didn't want it because they were scared of the answer they'd receive. Well, I tell you what, I bet you they cop a bloody mouthful when they get into camp. Well, that was last night. They would have copped a mouthful. What the hell do you blokes think you're doing? He was good enough to be the assistant coach last year, Billy Slater, and did a wonderful job but now he's fit. He can't make the team. Justin O'Neill, please.
Les is from Jimboomba. What do you think, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are you?
You're upset, really good, mate. Les. I'm fair dinkum upset, not this rubbish people calling or at radio being upset. I'm fair dinkum upset.
Mate, if you're upset, I'm ropeable. Mate, is this the 1st of April? Fair dinkum.
Good call.
Fair dinkum. Hey, it's the 1st of April. It's got to be. I mean, Billy Slater, that bloke that rang in just a couple of calls ago, hasn't he been watching Melbourne Storm the last couple of games?
Thank you.
Billy Slater's electrifying. Most commentators rate Billy Slater as the best fullback they've ever seen.
Ever. Yep.
And he's working with the other two blokes, Kronk and... just unbelievable. They know each other's playback. I mean, let's face it. You got those three clowns, and might I add, all from the bloody Broncos. So, also you've got Godfather Bronco Wayne Bennett. I reckon he's had a bit of input.
Les, we could do this all morning, but we agree with you, Les. Let Mandy have her say. Mandy from Carina, what do you reckon, Mandy?
Hey, guys. Yesterday when I saw the team, the first person I thought about is Marta, and I couldn't wait to actually switch the radio on this morning to hear your outrage. I'm kind of disgusted because Queensland always talk about loyalty. You know, when you've got guys serving their state, and they get left out like that, I think it's really, really sad and it's disappointing.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, Marto, as angry as we are, you know, we've got to accept that because I reckon as much as I don't like New South Wales, they're in a building phase and they've got a really good team. So Queenslanders are going to have to pull their heads out of their backside.
No, we need. That's why we need wily old tricksters. David Clem has never seen an inside play like the Melbourne Storm did the other night in his life. He won't know what to do, Mandy. Just getting rid of that axis of Kronk. When Thurston's in doubt, getting rid of the axis of Kronk, Smith and Slater.
Stupid.
Is crazy. Thank you, Mandy.
Combinations are the most important thing, especially when the pressure's on and there's hardly any time to operate. That's Origin. That's when you need combinations.
Jeff's from Redland Bay. Jeff, what do you reckon?
Stop with the negative vibes, Marto. We're going to get the job done, mate. These boys have been there, done that. Mate. They know what they're talking about, these selectors. You've got to give them a chance. They will get the job done.
I know. It's not often I could call Darren Lockyer a Muppet, but he's been involved in this, mate.
Mate, he's been there, done that. He knows what he's talking about. They will get it done.
It's
trust
day
me.
One. Allow me to have a bit of grieving for Billy Slater, Jeff. It's day one in the camp. I'll turn it around later.
No. Look, Billy Slater was... probably the greatest fullback that's played the game, mate. No doubt about it.
Was or is?
Nah, he probably still is, but you still got to give this side the chance, mate. I'm just putting the Queensland sticker on the back of my ute right now, Marto. Queenslander all the way, buddy.
Beautiful. All right, I'm going to go to my desk and get my Origin jersey and put it on and give myself a slap around. Thanks,
Jeff. He does talk a good point, though, because if they're going into camp today, they've got to be feeling like they can win. And if everyone's kind of going, oh, without Billy Slater, we can't do it, Robin, then that whole vibe is not going to work.
Robin, they're already in camp. Now, can you imagine that Guerra would turn over and he's just turned the radio on and Josh Maguire, they're lying in bed listening to us now? Like,
no,
we're not really
but what I would say
around.
Is
it's
that
okay.
if you're saying it, then a whole lot of people are agreeing with you, then that's the vibe in the state.
Okay.
And that's got to stop.
All right, let's
There's
talk
plenty
about...
of time. I'll pump it up before game one. It's all right. I'm just upset.
We'll hear from Kevy Walters.
I want to say Darren Lock is a muppet again, unless he can ring in and disprove and say that he did not vote for it. Hey, listen, we may as well revisit it. We talked about it yesterday, but Cocaine Cassie, the biggest revelation over the weekend, especially Sunday night, was when 60 Minutes was telling us about her foray into the... what would you say, massage parlour word, brothel. She was a prostitute.
Going by the name Claudia, her internet profile describes her as 19 years old, classy, fun and ready to please.
The story expands and the girl who owns the brothel, the madam, has come out and said a few more things, Ed. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, look, Robin, and just as you're hearing this for a moment, just think about, I want you to, Robin, to put yourself in the position that you're in Sydney, and you're driving along and you think to yourself, I wouldn't mind stopping into Club 220 because it's got so many classy people ready to please. Okay, Robin?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're in that headspace.
Right.
Well, when you get there, you might walk out the back and as you're about to walk in, you see a blonde girl and you think, oh, she doesn't look that happy, because this is how the madam described Cassie's...
How do you know where they sit, Ed? Just in brothels.
Because in the photograph that I saw, there was a really sad outdoor table with some chairs, and I thought, I bet that's where they hang out, right? I felt for her. Sometimes she would cry in the corner eating pizza, chips, and gravy. She wasn't the most popular girl, God love her. She was a bit tubby, even though she was a personal trainer.
Now, Ed, from your experience, she was a tubby personal trainer, wasn't she? From your experience, is it more expensive for a chubby girl?
I can answer these questions.
Oh, good. Excellent. Please. From your years of experience.
A girlfriend of mine happens to own a brothel.
I love that cover-up story you've got, that your friend owns a brothel and you seem to know a lot.
Oh, it's me. No. Look, anyway.
Eat chips and gravy?
They do have a green room. That, not that they call it that, they do have their own room. And then when new people come in, they all get up and parade, and then stand in front of the guy and he picks the person.
Oh,
but often the most popular, I spend 24 hours in a brothel. I should do that again.
What do they do? The men come in who are looking to spend their money and the girls parade in front of them.
Yeah, so
Cassie,
they come out of
Cassie,
an ante door.
Do they bring their chips and gravy with them?
Don't. No, and they chat to the guy and then he picks which one. And then they all go back into their little ante room back with the chips and gravy.
Oh.
And then that particular person goes off into a room with the bloke and whatever they've paid for, half an hour.
Let me ask you this. Would Cassie have got more clients if she was including the pizza and the chips and gravy
as part
of the service?
Yeah.
Because it's really interesting. If there is a truly gorgeously stunning woman, often
Cassie,
they're not picked because... they're too intimidating for blokes. So it's the more, obviously attractive women, but you don't have to be truly glamorous.
Yeah, someone looks like one of the mums from school. That's what you want. Would it be a Candyman situation where you'd be allowed to eat the chips and gravy off Cassie?
Definitely.
If that is part of what you want to do.
That's the meal deal. That one's called
the
meal deal. Well, guys, do you know, normally we don't do politicians, but we're going to make an exception because he's one of the most popular politicians, especially in Brisbane. He's the member for Dixon. Where's Dixon? Well, out around Pine Rivers, Kalanga, out that way.
Yes.
And he goes all right. And the thing is, this bloke speaks his mind. He's the immigration minister. Peter Dutton. Good morning, Peter.
Morning, Marto.
Mate, the reason, and we don't do politics very often, but we're all of us are fairly strong about, you're asylum seekers, you're firm with everything you say. Can we go through that first, telling them they got until October 1 or these last 7,500 can bugger off? Where does that sit?
Yeah, mate. Well, just quickly, we've obviously had a lot of people arrive by boat over the last few years. We haven't had a successful boat now in over 1,000 days, and we don't want it to restart because we know that women and kids drown at sea. It's a terrible situation. So we've got a pretty tough policy in place. But there are a couple of people, in fact, more than a couple, there are 7,500 still left in the queue who are refusing to provide any information about their background, some even refusing to provide information about their identity. And we want to help those legitimate refugees, those people that are fleeing persecution. And we've said to these people, look, you're getting welfare, you're getting all sorts of taxpayers' assistance, but if you're not going to play the game, if you're not providing the information that's requested, then the game's up. And by the 1st of October, if you haven't lodged your papers, then we are going to take you off welfare. We'll still provide work rights and Medicare, all of that, but our expectation is that you provide the information, make your claim. If you're a refugee, fair enough. If not, then we'll cancel a visa and you have to go back to the country of origin.
Why would they? Why wouldn't they want to? This is what I don't understand. Why wouldn't they want to tell us that information unless they're scared or they don't understand, or are they just trying to hide out? Like, what's the rationale behind that?
Now, it's a good question, Robin. I think if you look at the fact, you know, probably over 20,000 people before them have provided information, they've given all the details, and they've been found to be refugees or not. They've sort of come into the process, they haven't played games, and you can draw your own conclusions about why these people won't provide information. And, you know, the 12,000
Syrians... Do you know anything about them?
Yeah, we do. We've been engaging with them for the last couple of years. Some of them have got information that they've provided, but if we've got questions about authenticity of documents that they've provided, they're refusing to provide comment or answer questions about that. So, you know, there are lots of question marks, and my job is to try and keep our country safe and keep our borders secure. And I can't allow people to settle in the community or to become Australian citizens when, you know, they just won't play the game. They won't provide the information. It makes it really hard.
We're talking to Peter Dutton, Immigration Minister, also the member for Dixon, as you say, out near Pine Rivers, my bowls club, Marto. Peter Dutton, what is the process that you talk about, you know, with the documents and et cetera, et cetera? What is that? What does that actually look like? If I arrived and I said, look, I'm from a part of the world, I'm going to be persecuted, what do I need to show to prove that?
We would have trained people, obviously, within the Department of Immigration that conduct face-to-face interviews. So they'll go through your background and need to provide information. We obviously have staff all over the world.
It's quite extensive, isn't it?
Embassies.
It's quite an extensive process, Marto.
And, mate, it has to be in the 21st century. I mean, we can't have people crossing our borders when we don't know their identity. You have a look at what's happening in Europe and other parts of the world. You know, we've got a lot to protect here in our country and a lot to defend. So we shouldn't be embarrassed by saying, look, we want to check people out. We want to provide the health checks, and we want to make sure that people are who they say they are. If we do that, then we can have an orderly migration program. Then I think people know there's integrity in the process, and then they'll support the decision we take next time to bring people in from a war conflict zone or people who are being persecuted elsewhere.
Geez, you upset some people because you're no nonsense. Can we play one quick one we play with people? Good idea, bad idea. If I said to you, and a lot of this is about money and taxpayer money going to these immigrants, can I say to you, can I ask you if it's possible, if you do not pay tax, you do not get to vote. Is that a good idea?
I think it's a good idea.
All right, Peter Dutton, Immigration Minister, the member for Dixon. Now, I know how popular you are because that's on my way to my bowls club at Pine Rivers. And there's still a billboard up of you from the election. And it's there. It must have been there for 2 years. No one's graffitied it. Nothing, Peter Dutton. That's how you know you're a popular politician.
And I'm holding on to the old photo, mate. I've lost a bit of hair. Decided not to go the comb over, but I'm holding on to the old photo.
William with dignity. Peter Dutton, thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Yeah, kind of exciting times for me. Last night went to the world premiere of the brand new movie, The Mummy. Now, what you need to understand about this film is that Universal are trying to launch a new franchise. Oh. Just as DC and Marvel have done, they're trying to own the monster genre. Yeah. And they've got six monsters that they're potentially going to spin films off. So there's Dracula, Invisible Man, Frankenstein, Wolfman, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and The Mummy.
Invisible Man will be an interesting movie.
Won't it?
Who's playing that?
A lot of sunglasses on. Sunglasses and hats. Mm. Let's get to you and Rusty, please.
Well, exactly right. So if The Mummy does well, then they'll be able to launch this franchise. And Russell Crowe is playing Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde in The Mummy. So there's potential for him to go on to other things. Now, he only has one major fight scene with Tom Cruise, and it's when he goes to Mr. Hyde and becomes the monster. So I asked him about what it was like to fight with Tom.
Tell me about the fight scene with Tom. You're both action heroes from way back. Is it a free-for-all or is there choreography? No,
extremely controlled, but it takes weeks and weeks of rehearsal to get to that speed, you know. But we've had an innate trust with each other since we first met back in 1992. And you take that sort of thing into that sort of sequence, you know. But you can't get away with that speed and level of violence and everything unless you've really worked on it, you know.
Come on, there wasn't any free hits?
No, not at all. But if you think about it, there's some stuff that we do in that where you just can't get away without being hurt, you know? There's like a cracker kick in the head that he gives me at one point in time, and there's a back slam on the table. I was just like, that stuff, it's real and it hurts, you know? But we got through it together.
Wow, an actor doing something real. My God.
But hang it's on. Interesting. When you do see them film, you'll actually see both of them reacting like you go, yep, that really, really hurt.
He said he met Tom in 1992.
What was that, Jerry?
That must have been when he went over to America after Romper Stomper.
Mm. Yeah, because he was friends with Nicole.
And also was friends with Brian Brown, and I think they'd done Cocktail. What's his name? Tom Cruise had done Cocktail.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow, that is so long to have known each other. That's like, that's like 4 wives ago each.
Actually, Russell's ex was on the red carpet, and so were his children. It was kind of interesting. They were trailing behind him.
You'd love that.
Huh?
Wouldn't you love that? If your dad was in a movie, you'd want to go, wouldn't you?
Oh, man. It was a bit weird, though, because he went across the road and spoke to all of the kind of people that were waiting to see him. And people were, like, trying to climb over the barricade to hold him and touch him. And as a kid, I would find that quite odd.
Yeah, any Terry Irwin anywhere?
Again, no Terry Irwin. No, there was none of that going on. He was very much just with his kids. But the other thing we know about Russell Crowe is he loves his rugby league, so I asked him this. The State of Origin team was announced today. Who's going to win?
Oh, who's going to win?
Yes.
I don't know. I haven't seen the teams. So to me, it will be very, very much based on who's with who, you know, and who they've gone with. But I haven't actually read them. But I'm going to enjoy doing something like that tonight. Probably be when you're safe in bed and I'm still up, and I'll get a few minutes and then I'll have a look.
He's a Kiwi.
Mm.
Let's remember.
No South players involved in this year's Origin, so that's why.
Oh, that's interesting.
Doesn't care.
Yeah, well, he seemed to care. He's then going in to watch the movie and then after that go back.
They don't go in and watch the movie. They tell you, honestly,
most of the time they say, look, we've already seen it, we're going home. All of them said they had not seen the finished thing. They'd only seen half of it. And they were all going in to see the end result. And I don't reckon Rusty would walk around with his kids unless he was going to sit in there with them to watch the movie.
That's fair enough. Do you reckon they snuck out to see Mamma Mia 2 halfway through?
To sing and dance on stage.
Saw that announced yesterday.
Mamma Mia 2, is that necessary?
Yeah, I'm now like, if any movie needed a monster, it's this one, taking people out. Come on, brother.
At Stephen.
All together now.
At Stephen's. Exciting. Discover you with beautiful hair.
Why are we playing this?
I love it.
Robin, you know what it is. It doesn't often get heard on Triple M, though. We've got the great man with us because he's come up with a scheme. You know, out there at Maruka, he started Stephen's Boat World. Now, as part of the Sanctuary Cove International Boat Show, he's about to unleash Stephen's Boat Share Club, where you can go eights in a boat. And we all know Moreton Bay is such a magnificent part of the marine world. Ooh. And you don't have to buy the boat yourself. You're sharing it. And I wanted to get him on to explain what's going on here. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, great, mate. Can you?
Good, mate. I love that song. Yeah. That song was made in America in a beautiful country town. It's unbelievable.
And now it's an iconic song.
A very famous guy.
Who sang it?
Guy. Willie Nelson?
No. The guy that did it was Kruger, a very famous radio man who used to do commercials for radios. And I had a very special friend, Steve Bellinger, who did it for me as well. He was a great mentor, and he was an amazing person in my life.
Yeah. Well, that's gorgeous. Now, Stephen, let's get to the present because you've come up with an idea. It's a boat sharing idea. Now, talk us through the boat sharing idea, right, Stephen. How does it work? How do I get my hands on a boat share?
All right, very simple. But first, you've got to understand why the idea came around.
Yeah. Okay.
All people like you, when I say like your young generation executives with enough money to buy a boat, where do you put it? You've got nowhere to put it.
That's true.
High rise, if you live in a safety community, you have a covenant that says nothing outside your garage.
And it's a pain in the ass to tow it to the boat ramp or wherever as well.
That's it. And then to tow it, you need the right car. If you haven't been towing things throughout your life, you don't know, you're intimidated by towing, because towing is intimidating. Mm-hmm. So the idea of buying a boat doesn't get a thought. That's a terrible thing.
True.
Is that where once upon a time you dreamt about a boat and I couldn't wait to get a boat, didn't matter how small it was. Now, where do you put it? So the thought doesn't happen. Where we are now is actually Coomera. The main head office is Coomera. And there's 63,000 houses around Coomera that cannot own a boat. Do you know that you can't actually park a boat in Sanctuary Cove
on the
unless
street.
You live on the water?
Oh, no. You can't put one on the street or anything like that?
Forget the street. You can't put it inside your house. You can put it inside your garage and no one sees it. That's okay. Otherwise, no boat. All the high-rise in Brisbane, all the high-rise on the Gold Coast, all the units that are popping up everywhere in Brisbane.
Yeah.
So that's how the thought began. I thought, you know, this is crazy. All these people that would love to own a boat, now they don't. So how do you overcome this? Mm. So then we came with the Stefan Boat Share Club. And in the past, timeshare has had bad image. You got into a timeshare, you only got a week, a year, and then they constantly charge you for things. This is so straight up.
Yeah.
If it was any more straight up, it would be a statue. It would be a post.
Right, but you're saying you get an eighth share. Do you get, what, 6 weeks a year or something or other?
You get 36 days a year or 34 days a year. However, if you want more, when the boat isn't used, you'll get what we call a standby day. But let me tell you something else. People that own boats, the average usage is 17 days a year.
Is that right?
Got to get them moving. Yeah. I often think that's different. Driving around, if you get close to the water, you see all those boats, you think, why aren't people out in those boats? Those boats look like they're a lot of fun. Why aren't people using them? This is a good idea. If I want to get involved or if I'm interested in some boating, Stefan, where can I go for more information?
You just go to Stefan Boating World on Google, Stefan Boating World.
Stefan Boating World.
Let me tell you one more thing, how cheap it is to own it.
Yeah, how much?
Okay, come on.
$70,000 boat will only cost you about $7,000 to own. And about $1,500 a year that takes care of storage, dry storage. We put it in the water for you. We take it out of the water for you. If you crash it, the insurance takes care of it. You just pay your excess.
Oh, I like that bit.
Yeah, I bet you do.
He was once, let's not forget that he was once towed back to shore by the Coast Guard when he was trying to go to Moreton Bay on a jet
Stefan,
ski.
Hey, Stefan, I reckon it's a great idea. I'm sure you've got everyone's brains ticking a little bit this morning. Well done, mate. They can see you down at the Sanctuary Cove Boat Show.
Great. I look forward to that. I hope you please call in.
Cheers,
you,
mate.
Thank you, guys.
See you, Stefan.
Play him out. Play him out. Start dancing.